They're going into the dog pound are the Browns. Barnage goes out wide left with Gabriel. Benjamin to the right. West in the backfield. Barnage motions to the left. Second and goal. Here's Hoyer giving. And West, a cutback five going in. Touchdown! Terrence West!
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hour number two of a Victory Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you. And folks, don't forget to join us tomorrow for the show at PNC Bank in Mentor on Plaza Boulevard, where we'll be hosting a Cleveland Browns tailgate. The event begins at 1 p.m., scheduled to appear throughout the day, other than us. And you can see a live edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I don't know why that's not hyped enough. But we'll also be John Greco, who we talked about, had a great game again on Sunday. Barkevious Mingo. And, of course, the Browns mascot, Chomps. That's all at the PNC Bank in Mentor on Plaza Boulevard starting at 1 p.m. tomorrow for a live Cleveland Browns tailgate. So be sure to come on out and check us out there. Going back to the phones now, 216-578-0850. That's 216-578-0850. And let's go to Mark in New York now. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, good.
All right. First of all, I just want to say I'm a big fan of the show, and I think this is the game yesterday is the kind of game that in past years the Browns have lost, and I'm glad that the running game is as good as it was because I think that's been a major difference.
Could you say the last part again and like cut out on us?
Sorry, I think that the fact that we've been consistently running the ball has been a major difference this year as opposed to past few years.
No question about it. It is an identity for this team. It's going to be a team that's going to run the football, play good defense. And, you know, we've heard all along, oh, the Seattle model, Seattle model, Seattle model. Well, there is a school of thought that if you can run the football effectively and play good defense, you can win in the NFL. Mike Pettine saw it with his Jets teams. We saw it with the 49ers last year. We saw it with the Panthers last year. We saw it from Seattle last year. And I think that is the mold that they are looking for.
I agree, and I really think that all coaches want to be able to run the ball and play good defense, you know, based on their personnel and who they've got, you know, what kind of offensive line they have. They just evolve like we did last year. We couldn't run the ball, so we'd put the air in the ball 50 times if we had to try to win. So it's just a matter of we have that luxury that we have, a great offensive line that is growing every week. We have two stud young running backs with fresh legs, and we have an amazing decision maker taking the snap every time under center.
Yep, and it all adds up to success. Let's go to George in Cleveland now. George, welcome to the show.
Thank you. There was a long pass by Hoyer to either Hawkinson or Gabriel that kind of came up a little short.
The one to Benjamin in the first half?
Benjamin in the first half. It was short.
Yep.
But he had him beat.
Yep.
Why do you think they didn't go back to that?
They've tried it once in each of the two games, and it's both times it's been off of play action, both times to Travis Benjamin. He had, I believe it was Ike Taylor beaten week one. The ball was underthrown, almost ended up being intercepted, and here it was a little underthrown again. I think that they look for it. If you go back and watch, there are guys going vertically more often than it would seem in terms of the actual passes that are attempted over 20 yards in the air. They haven't pulled the trigger. I think Brian Hoyer is being judicious about it in terms of when he takes his shots. You just want to see ultimately for a quarterback in that spot, to go deep, right? Either completion or an incompletion deep, because we don't have the big jump ball receivers. Benjamin's a speed guy. Put it out there, let him run under it. And I think if Hoyer had his, you know, had a do over there, he'd put that ball about another 5 yards down the field.
You're correct, and I know you said it multiple times today. It's like throw that ball. You know, there's nothing more beautiful than a wide receiver running underneath. You know, that well thrown ball. And again, in some cases, wide receiver makes the quarterback look really good when they come back for an underthrown ball. But I think it's reps. Reps in practice, and I think more so than any, we're probably focusing on, the personnel. Who are we missing? You know, what game plan can we construct throughout the week of practice to go out and move those chains? And then also, too, is that deep ball being thrown by Brian Hoyer, as you said, judiciously, keeps the defense honest.
Totally.
You know, those safeties start to cheat up, those crossing routes, those windows become tighter. If you can't stretch a defense vertically, whether it be man-to-man or zone coverage.
Absolutely, no question about it. You got to put the pressure on it, keeps the safeties out of the box, sets up the run game, and then puts the linebackers in more of a spot where they have to decide what they're going to do and the safeties themselves too when you show the play action, which helps this offense get going. Jim in Westlake now with us. Welcome, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
I couldn't be better. Come on, the Browns just beat the Saints on Sunday. Let's go.
Awesome. Hey, let me ask you about the one play at the end of the first half. The Saints are driving down. They got down, I think it was around the 8-yard line, and it was a questionable first down, but they stopped. They seemed to allow them to continue on without measuring. Was that a first down? I mean, it seemed like they.
I was right there. It was a first down. That's one I think if Dante Whitner got to have that play over again instead of just going in and hitting, he would have wrapped up and it would have been fourth down. They would have had to kick a field goal. It was a first down. He did get the line to gain. And then they came back and threw the fade to Jimmy Graham for the touchdown with 3 seconds left. And that was one to me where when you go back over it, and I thought Joe Hayden's coverage on Jimmy Graham was excellent. It just doesn't matter. That's the issue. He's wide open even when he's covered. He's giving up too much size. And that's one where I would have liked to see. Remember the defense where they kind of make it look like it's a punt return where you're on the gunner on the outside or you got two guys on him. We've seen people do that to Graham before. We've seen people do that to Rob Gronkowski. We've seen people do it to Calvin Johnson. That is a matchup that you just want. I would want Drew Brees to just not be able to look out there and say, because I was – you knew that's where the ball was going.
Right.
As soon as you saw them one-on-one, that's where the ball is going.
And I think what they did was as Jimmy Graham and Drew Brees were connecting more and more often, I think we as a defense were kind of scrambling with, first of all, who we're going to put on him and how we're going to help him. You know, because it was multiple. Sometimes Joe was by himself. Sometimes he wasn't. Sometimes Jimmy Graham was just finding the zone against us. But I'm with you, Nathan. I think that the more aggressive you can get on the line and immediately take Drew Brees' eyes off of him and go, he's doubled. I know
I'm
what
done.
I'm getting. I got to go somewhere else. You know, and at that point, you know, maybe they could have, attacked Meacham on Gilbert and abused his, his inexperience as of last week. But I would have loved to see them go about that differently, and I'm sure that's something that they're going to learn from and evaluate.
The good news is there are no more Jimmy Grahams on the schedule for the Cleveland Browns, because that guy, I mean, just being on the field and seeing him, I'm sure you could even imagine having to cover a guy like that. You spent obviously many years in San Diego with the great Antonio Gates, but just the size-speed combination, and he is so fluid as an athlete, it's ridiculous.
He is, and it's tough. Like you said, 6'4", 250 pounds, guarding what would some might call, equivalent size-wise. But even still, for me, I'm giving up multiple inches. But also for him, it's, he understands the play, and you don't know the flexibility that he probably has as a playmaker in that offense that he can do whatever he wants. And that's one thing that playing against Tony Gonzalez, playing against Antonio Gates every day in practices, their body control and the way they box you out. Joe Hayden was like, he probably knew what flavor bubblegum Jimmy Graham was chewing.
He was in there. He was just giving it,
it's like just going up and getting a rebound. He was just boxing him out. He's a great player. And we had him at bay early. But again, a Drew Brees is going to make his plays, and Jimmy Graham got his catches.
He certainly did. Jimmy Graham accounting for exactly half of their passing yards, 118 of the 237 that Drew Brees threw for in this game. And, of course, both touchdowns that Drew Brees threw in this one. Let's go to Chevy in New Jersey now. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nathan. I just wanted to say that this summer when it was hot and they had those up-tempo practices, I was thinking, man, that team's going to revolt. This is crazy. But I think that really helps him. And I think the team has vision. They can all see the field. They play like a unit, like the O-line did. I think those are keys. And I really like Kyle Shanahan's game, the way he called. It was a great game. And I actually had tears on Sunday when we won that game, just like Vic did on Friday. Thanks.
That's awesome, man.
It is awesome. It was. I'll tell you what. It was emotional. It was emotional on the sideline after they won. It was emotional back in the locker room and in the tunnel going back there. And that's what it's about. And I think, and you know this better than obviously I do. This is really my first experience and first real taste of kind of being in an organization, getting to see how it happens. But so much time and effort and work goes into this, and so much sacrifice by so many people for 60 minutes on a Sunday. And to have it come to the result and get the result that you want, it is kind of one of those, it's a great relief and release for everybody involved with it.
And you know what? And it starts at the top, Nathan. And I think that you hear it time and time again. And I'm growing as a huge fan of Mike Pettine because for whatever reason, I've never met him yet. But I think very similarly to him in the fact that, in his postgame remarks to say, you're all in all year long on 16 60-minute opportunities.
Yep.
You know, so you lift the weights for those opportunities. You watch the film for those opportunities. So then what we're finally seeing, and we saw yesterday, is a Cleveland Browns team going out and truly cherishing those 70,000 fans that showed up and playing 60 minutes of football.
And I love how Mike Pence said, we got paid today.
We got paid today. You're earning that check.
You're earning that check out there today. All right, let's go to Dave in Zor. I don't know where that is, but it sounds like
a pretty good
time. Is that another planet? It sounds like an awesome time. Like, is Superman around there? What's going on? What's up, Dave?
Oh, not much. It's down by the Dutch Valley restaurant where they did that remote from the other day. But anyways, I was going to say, what a home run Carlos Dansby is.
Absolutely.
The Browns picked up. I mean, he's a ball hawk. He's one heck of a linebacker, but he's a leader, and he led that team. To me, he led that team and did everything he could not to take a loss yesterday. I thought it was awesome.
I concur 100%. Is time and time again, you know, regimes and Browns teams of years past have brought, you know, elder free agents that would come to Cleveland for a paycheck. You know, and I think you've got to love a guy like Carlos Dansby, who is wearing his heart on his sleeve, who what probably feels like he's been ingrained into the Browns history for so long because of his passion that he plays with. He loves the game of football. You could tell he loves his teammates, and he's playing for this organization as if his life depends on it.
He was sent here on a mission from God. That's what he said.
He is
a mission from Zor. And Carlos Dansby is a playmaker, and I love what DeQuell Jackson did for this team, but he was not a playmaker like Dansby. We brought him in here to cover. He already has an interception. He has a pass defense. We brought him in here to rush the quarterback, where he led all inside linebackers last year with 6 sacks. He already has a sack this year. You know, you talk about a guy who makes big stops, big run plays. According to Pro Football Focus, he's third among all inside linebackers with 10 stops, and that's a play that constitutes an offensive failure. He does it all for this team, and he is a leader.
He fills the stat sheet.
He does, and he was right when he said that his stats are not that dissimilar from Ray Lewis, yet he gets none of the accolades. Carlos Dansby trying to get those accolades in a city that appreciates defense and resolve and toughness and leadership and playmaking. And you've already heard his name be mentioned by callers today as much as anybody else's, if not more than everybody else's, combined here on this team, because Carlos Dansby stands out and is playing at a very high level right now. Let's go to Will in his car. Will, welcome to CBD on a Victory Monday.
Yeah. Hi, how you doing? A couple of quick points on the Manziel situation. I was not happy when he was coming in, and it didn't seem to make sense, and then he didn't. But I think those plays, don't forget, we scored 10 points in the first quarter. Then we kind of went into a low.
We did.
And then we came out in the second half, and we three and out or whatever, and then they scored. So the momentum was kind of turning, so that's why they were trying it. But the play calling was brilliant. All we've been talking about are these Manziel packages. So Rob Ryan's going to have all these things working on the rollouts and everything. The last thing they expected was to go right up the middle. It didn't work, but that was brilliant to try that, because you figure he's overthinking it and he's worried about all the rollouts, and they could snap one up the middle, but it didn't work. But anyway, they shouldn't catch any flack for trying it. That's all.
No, I don't think there is any flack for trying it. I think if it comes in and gives you a spark, that's great. I thought that, and I do agree with you that I like that they came in and didn't run some like gadget play, because the time when they do decide to bring him in and run that gadget play, it'll only be more effective because they're just showing him run the regular offense.
I agree. And the one thing that I, again, looking into a crystal ball and not breaking things down to the furthest degree, but the one thing that I would not like to see is when he's integrated for those two plays, if they're both negative or no yardage play, and you bring Brian Hoyer back in, what you do is you put Brian Hoyer behind the eight ball, you know, trying to convert a 3rd and 8. In this case, it was third and 13.
Yep.
That over the course of time will be very frustrating. So I think the one thing they're going to evaluate is not only what point in the game, but also too, they have to understand the flow of the game and how that affects other players as well.
Right, and that's just the issue there. It'll be the flow, but I liked it. Good to give him some game experience. He got him on the field. It happened, which I thought was ultimately a good thing for Johnny Manziel. He's gotten his opportunity to get a taste of the National Football League, and so that's good. Will we see more of him? I don't know, but I like the way that Brian Hoyer responded to it and continued to play through it and play very effectively. Barry in Chagrin Falls now on this Victory Monday. Everybody reacting, everybody feeling good. Barry, how are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. Great team effort. Especially impressed with the discipline, the lack of penalties, and the execution of plays. I hope that's a sign of things to come. I can't wait to see us with Gordon and Cameron on the field. I mean, it seems like he's got like 10 pounds of hair there. I mean, it's like half the size of his body. What do you guys think of that?
I don't know. Crow's got a lot of hair, too. Crow moves pretty well. I think Travis moves just fine. I don't know that they're going to give him any barber tips, you know, on mandating.
We hope not. And that's the one thing the NFL prides itself on is, you know, you go do you. And again, if anybody needs to cut their hair, it's Troy Polamalu.
I was saying, it didn't seem to slow him down at
no,
all.
No, it did.
Just fine.
And to his point, though, and again, I looked at, you know, looking at the game statistics, some people might look at yards initially. I look at, obviously, third down conversions. How are we moving the ball on third down? And the other thing I look at is penalties. And I think penalties, again, is a direct reflection upon the coaching that they're receiving, you know, the discipline that's implemented and the emphasis that they're putting on, hey, we already know we might not be the most talented team, and we're going to have to play a very consistent and complementary football game. Let's not shoot ourselves on the foot. So, again, kudos to the coaching staff on getting on these guys about false starts and holdings. You know, I think the defensive holdings were down as well, and no penalty in this game came back to haunt us, which we're so used to.
Well, those are the hidden yards in the box score that you can't account for, the extra first downs that you can give up. And so far, it's a Browns team that had 8 in the first game, came back with only 4 penalties this game, so they cleaned that up. That certainly helped them, and it will help them going forward. When you can be disciplined, and by the way, the Browns have not turned the ball over yet. They have 2 takeaways, so they're plus there. That's where you need to be in, you know, the positive for this team. You need to be efficient with the ball, take care of it, not do anything stupid, and thus far the Browns have done that. That's why they're 1-1. We're very much in a position to be 2-0. Let's go to Don in a car. Don, you're on with Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm here on CBD.
Hey, guys, it's funny you were just talking about penalties. And my question is this, with that Jimmy Graham touchdown going into the half, there was 8 seconds left, and Hayden had – he was completely boxed out, had no chance to defend that ball at all. My question is this, and maybe Matt could help me with this, would it not have been a good idea for Hayden to completely just foul him, do some type of – so he doesn't catch the ball that way? New Orleans is, you know, maybe with 3 seconds left, they're on the one, so they either have to go all or nothing, either to go for the touchdown and come up empty or kick the field goal, because Hayden was not in any position to do anything to defend that ball.
Is that something you would ever be coached up to do, to take a pass interference in the end zone like that in terms of clock management?
No, and I don't think, a competitor like Joe Hayden, up to that challenge and covering it like Jimmy Graham, he was just going to do his best to play within the rules. Again, I know you and I had both talked as the one. We would have liked to see them address Jimmy Graham flexed out like that immediately at the line of scrimmage, and or Chris Kirksey run out there so that Joe Hayden, responsibility-wise, he is high and outside, and Kirksey has anything low and inside. So essentially he's doubled. He's bracketed that way. And I think Kirksey was just late reacting out there, you know, off of whatever play fake that, or just reading, you know, run pass. He was late to get out there. He took, you know, a too steep of an angle, not shallow enough to truly take away that inside ball. So that, and again, at that point, Jimmy Graham at 6'6", 260 versus Joe Hayden at 5'11", 185 pounds. It's a mismatch.
Yeah, in my mind, it's just a matter of you've got to take that option. You can't give Jimmy Graham one-on-one against anybody on our roster pretty much on the outside, given the size disparity of our corners. I mean, maybe when Justin Gilbert gets to that point, you know, he's the one who has the size maybe to match up. But even so, he's still giving up 6 inches
right
to Jimmy. That's a lot.
It's
significant. So I think that's one where you almost have to go the kind of punt coverage on him and just say, listen, Drew, you can look over here and know you're not throwing the ball to Jimmy
right
Graham.
But no, we're not taught to penalize in that circumstance just to give him that shot on the one. And also, too, the familiarity with the clock.
Right.
We don't know. You know, you're just going out and play. You're lining up. You're up for the challenge, not so much, you know, the whole ball of wax, unless there was a timeout and you were literally coached for that play.
Yes, if you feel like you don't have a chance to break it up, just tackle it.
Correct.
Right. That would be the way to go there. All right, we'll be back with more of your phone calls. You guys are blowing it up here on a Victory Monday. 216-578-0850. Again, that's 216-578-0850 here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. But let me remind you about our good friends over at OBM. That's right, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket. Teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, so OBM can tackle any of your copier problems and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns, visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. More reaction here as the Browns defeat the Saints and get to 1-1 on the season when CBD returns.